Time to get our view from the north. You can catch us work for Comcast Sportsnet online. Visit CSNNW.com. On the tube, talking Ducks, talking ball during football season and basketball season. Channel 737 in high def on my Comcast system. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Get ready for the entire gamut of conversational items. We welcome in Aaron Fentress. AF, how you doing?
What is up, man?
A lot. I was just rambling on. Once we get into March, I turn into a 12-year-old. It's like the weather's getting better, March Madness, we're getting close to the NBA playoffs, thinking about playing golf, thinking about the Masters and all that. And in baseball season, it's like Steve the 12-year-old kicks in. You have a particular time of year where it's just like they might as well turn you back into a kid again.
Yeah, when NFL teams report for training camp.
Simple as that?
Simple as that. Once NFL gets rolling again, I'm like, yes.
I always thought you were so complex, I didn't realize you were so simple. Make a note of that one. All right.
When I was younger, the months between the summer months were the worst. Because I like the NBA, so I would be okay then. But those summer months between the NBA finals and NFL season starting were the worst.
I've learned
to love baseball enough to get through it, but the worst. And so that made the start of training camp so exciting, so it still resonates.
All right. A note has been made.
Thank you.
Last night, you tweeted it out. Colorado gets a big win against Arizona. The fans storm the court. Sean Miller is bent out of shape, but is this a case of fans are kind of clueless, or these are students who are so aware of TV, they're just kind of running to midcourt to be on camera so they can see themselves later? What do you make about this whole rush the floor for minimal accomplishment?
It's become even more ridiculous in the Gatorade bath. Remember when that was reserved for Super Bowls?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you win a preseason game, your first game ever, and you get to get right back. That's an exaggeration, but you get my point. So it's like that now with storming the court, man. It's like everyone just waits for their opportunity to have an excuse to storm the court. So I tweeted out, what on earth did Colorado just win? And people are like, oh, they just got themselves into the tournament and they beat a top 10 team. And I'm thinking, really? First of all, they're not guaranteed to be in the tournament. Just because they have 20 wins doesn't guarantee them any. And number two, they beat a top 10 team that already has how many losses this season?
Well, that drops them tied. They're not even leading the conference.
I know. So it's like, it's just the fact that they beat Arizona, which is a big deal. I can't remember the last time they beat Arizona. It's probably been a while. It's a big deal. I get it. But, you know, it just seems to me you would say something like that for something bigger. But if you're a program like Colorado, it might not get any bigger. Like, that might be it. I think they have two home games remaining. But I don't know. Why not save it for when you win one of those home games and it really locks you in or something? I don't know. It just seems like it's just become gratuitous to this point. And Miller has some great points because there was a few guys who were looking around like they had been shoved or something for Arizona. And, you know, college kids can be obnoxious. And sometimes they show a lack of respect for the opposition because they think it's their time to celebrate. They don't think very clearly. And someday someone's going to get clocked. Although I think he oversold it a little bit because this has been going on for a while and it hasn't really happened yet. But I think his point should be taken to heart in that it's gotten a bit ridiculous. At least let the players get off the court, or at least don't storm where they are. But, you know, again, we're dealing with college kids. They're not thinking.
I couldn't agree with you more there. But as far as, like, basketball, that loss, so Oregon is now a game up. They've got the tiebreaker. So, in essence, they win two games, and the Pac-12 regular season title is theirs.
They still have a co, though. They do co.
Well, yeah, but they would be the one seed.
They would be the one seed, right, but they wouldn't.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know what
season.
You mean.
That's all I'm saying.
I know what you mean.
So they need to win two games to lock up at least a share. If they win out, they're guaranteed to be the outright champions. And there hasn't been a co-champion since, I just looked it up the other day, 2000, I think.
Oh, it does go back that far? Wow. I didn't realize it had been that long. Oh, all right, that's a good tidbit to note. But we've kind of this week discussed the place of this team historically. But rather than be specific, considering it just seems like the conference, the country, is so wide open. So with where Oregon is now, any reason Duck fans shouldn't be thinking pretty big?
I think Duck fans should think big for the same reasons that Colorado can storm the court. Hell, why not, right?
Right.
I mean, it is going to be wide open. Oregon has an athletic team. They have some good size. They're obviously a pretty good team. Anyone can get hot in a tournament. This team certainly has the type of team where if they get hot, they can win against a lot of the perennial, you know, powerhouses, et cetera, et cetera. My only comment against that is that, you know, they might win a conference that has an Arizona program that is in a down year. They didn't beat a great Arizona team, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And they still have an issue at point guard, I think. You know, Benson is going to have to hit some big shots in the tournament because teams, when they get into deep scouting and looking at the Ducks, they're going to be like, we're going to make this guy beat us. We're going to make this guy make a shot. We're going to make this guy, you know, do something other than just stand out there and just swing the ball back and forth across the court to the really good players. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not claiming to be Joe NCAA tournament expert. I haven't won a bracket in 12 years, but but as you know, in a game that's so perimeter oriented, if you have a really good point guard, you have a chance to beat anybody. And he's gonna probably face a really good point guard, and he's going to have to do something to carry his weight, so to speak, for Oregon to go far, I think.
Well, by the way, for the record, 1982, I had Ewing and Georgetown as a rookie going deep, and I won a bunch of money. That,
nice.
And then 2000 with Florida, and that was my last one, too. So I may be due. I saw you were throwing an eye at Warriors-Miami last night. And today, I'm listening to some of the national people, and they're talking about, you know, Golden State's a lock. It's bad for the league. Now, you were a Bulls fan. We all watched and couldn't look away. I thought the pursuit of excellence in history kind of made things better. Do you buy into this? The Warriors, with the way they play and eliminating the drama, is bad?
No, I think if a team wins over multiple years and it's too easy, that can be bad, maybe, but there's no drama at all. I don't think what the Warriors are doing lacks drama, because Steph is just so absolutely ridiculous, so he's so entertaining. What he did last night was just so Steph Curry. It's like a tie game, they're down two, he comes down and makes a three, Wade gets a couple of free throws, and Curry comes down and makes another three that he had no business making. And then Wade misses a jumper, and then they ice the game. It was just Curry being Curry. And it's whenever you're dealing with someone singularly that great who can elevate his team like that, it's fun to watch, just like it was with Michael and Magic and Bird and even LeBron. I don't think that gets boring. Plus, you know, they're working on their second title, and they're chasing a record. To me, this is exciting. Like, I want them to lose. Like, every night, if they're on TV, I won't watch until the fourth quarter is close. Because I want to watch in the first quarter and be like, come on, Milwaukee, you can do it. And it's 35-12, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And then there was that one week recently, or a couple of weeks, or a month ago or so, when they just ran right through Oklahoma City, Chicago, and Cleveland, just obliterated all of them. And I watched each game from the beginning, and it was so depressing. I was like, okay, they got to lose at least one, if not all by a combined, like, 90 or something. I'm exaggerating, but you get my point.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was depressing. So,
blowout
so for
city.
Me, last night, when I saw it was close, I tuned in for the last 3 minutes, and I was pumped and excited. So I think they're chasing history. They're chasing arguably the greatest team ever, a record that a lot of people didn't know would ever be broken, and they have a chance to beat it, which I hope they don't. I'm trying really hard to not go all, you know, Nancy Kerrigan on Steph Curry or anything like that. You know, but if you do hear about Steph Curry getting his knee whacked outside of practice by someone with a baton who ran through his last note and you can't find me, it's probably me.
Well, you know.
That said, I think it's fascinating. And here's another thing, last thing. I don't think anything's a given. I think it concentrates. Everything slows down when you get in this series. And San Antonio's right there. I mean, San Antonio's on pace to win like 67, 68 games,
I know, it's
right?
Crazy. It's crazy.
Right. So you can't tell me that when those two teams meet in a seven-game series that San Antonio can't win that series. I believe they can't. And if Cleveland is healthy and going right come the finals, you can't tell me Cleveland can't beat them. I think they can. So we'll see.
All right. So, by the way, Tonya Harding, Galooly, they're all from Portland. You're from Portland. I'm not putting it past you. we continue with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sports Network. We're going to keep this tape for the prosecution.
Key suspect in the Curry mauling.
The Trailblazers have now made their way to kind of the top of the NBA conversation list. You know that city. You hear the buzz. You talk with your colleagues. I mean, how much are the fans just loving this team right now?
I think everyone's perplexed and excited because I don't think anyone. Well, I mean, there were a few knucklehead fans will tweet at us. They're gonna win the championship and nonsense like that. And, you know, and there were some who said they'd make the playoffs that we kind of laughed off. And they're looking like they might be correct. But you lose that much talent, and then you become that young. You're in the West Conference. You're expected to fall off, but the West Conference fell off first, which has helped them. Houston falling off, Dallas falling off, Gasol's now out, Phoenix has underachieved, the Pelicans have underachieved. People thought Minnesota was going to make a run this year and be decent, make a run at 500. All those teams have underachieved, and that has helped the Blazers overachieve. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but that is a factor when all those teams all fell off from where they were last year. That has helped. But to Portland's credit, in the last month and a half, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, and they're also beating good teams. You know, they blew out Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
Last week. You know, just destroyed them. What Damian Lillard is doing and C.J. McCollum, they are easily one of the best two or three backcourts in the NBA. I say three or four backcourts in the NBA. And Blazers fans are excited because they're ahead of schedule. Now, I figured they were going to win 25 to 30. So, clearly, I was way off. But I did believe that the young nucleus was there to build and that they would be back in the playoffs. I think I gave them 2 years out. They'd be back in the playoffs by spring of 18. But, you know, clearly they might be ahead of that. We'll see. It's not over yet. But I think the way Stotts has molded this team together, the way they have come together as a group, and the pieces that Olshay has sort of put together to make this happen, if they make the playoffs as an over 500 team, now if they make the playoffs under 500, to me that's like, who cares? You know, that's a product of the conference more so than the team.
Right.
They make it as an over 500 team, I think Stotts should be coach of the year. I think Olshay should be executive of the year. And I think Lillard should receive MVP votes.
He probably will. But I don't know if you've checked their upcoming schedule, this road trip.
Oh, it gets rough. That's why I say that's what I'm saying. If they pull it off over 500, they can get through the next month and a half, which is a bear, and they're above 500, then you guys are handing out hardware to people in Blazers' office, front offices.
Well, Jason, I jotted the list down. The teams they're playing on the road who are over 500, and in the case of, you got Boston, Chicago, Indy, Toronto, Detroit, Golden State, OKC, San Antonio, New Orleans, and Dallas. That's of their next 14 games. So
yeah, that's
a bit of a reality check.
Right.
All right.
Right.
We've got to get to the NFL Combine. So I'll make the comment. You give me your reaction. I said, unless you get paid to do this, if you're sitting at home drinking beer and watching hours and hours of the Combine, you need to go to some kind of a meeting where they put chairs in a semicircle, use only first names, and hand out coffee and donuts.
Okay, I will say partially true. The reason why I will say partially true is that the cool thing about the draft, especially, but the combine a little bit, is that it's not watching them run up and down. I mean, it's kind of cool to watch a few stars here and there. The rest of the stuff is kind of corny. But just the discussion of players and their attributes and their skill set and different teams and what teams might be looking for, whatever, there's a lot of opinion and facts being thrown around where if you watch and listen, you're going to learn a lot and hear a lot of interesting things that you can either decide if you agree with or don't agree with, because, you know, the opinions are opinions. So to me, it's entertaining in that regard, and it's kind of fascinating. But, you know, 6 hours a day, I don't know about all that. You know, I don't know how much fascination there is in the world, 6 hours of the combine and guys running around in shorts. But that said, I have an excuse because it's partly my job to watch it. So I don't fall into that loser category, so to speak, per se.
No, that's why I prefaced it. If you're not getting paid and it's multiple hours, seek help for the sake of your family and friends.
I don't disagree. Okay.
All right. So cool. We're on the same page there. All right, my friend. Good stuff. I think we've covered the gamut. By the time we gather next week, we'll be into March, and we'll see where we're at now, what guides us. Again, at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter, CSNNW.com, the Comcast site. AF, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Blake. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, take it easy.